Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. The theme of the message today is, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. So let us read from Ephesians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. I mean, I was so excited to hear Pastor Aaron talking about we casting our crowns before God. That is powerful, powerful revelation. So today I pray that even as I read this scripture, you cast your crowns before God. Whether it's a problem, it's a success, whatever it is distracting you, cast it before God. Let us read. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Let this mind be in you. Though Jesus Christ was God, he came to the world and on this earth as a man, God incarnate, God with us. God became man to come to our level so that we can identify with him. And yet he humbled himself. He laid aside his majesty, everything that was bigging him up, he laid it aside and became one of us. And being one of us, he was obedient to his Father to the point of death. Even death on the cross is very important, you mark that. And as a result of his humility and obedience, he was highly exalted and given a name above all names. And every name will bow the knee to Jesus. That means every name will defer to him, that every name, that is anybody who is somebody, is nobody before the name of Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? Be it human, be it flesh, be it blood, be it spirit, that is somebody, is nothing before Jesus Christ. And even those things in heaven and those things on earth, those things under the earth, and every tongue will recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if today you decided to open your mouth and say Jesus Christ is Lord over your life, it is to the glory of the Father. God will hear you. Hallelujah. Today my objective is to explore why and how Jesus Christ was so powerful in his earthly ministry, so we also can be the same here on this earth, because we are also sons of God. We know that. So that is my objective today. Now, to begin with, I will say that Jesus Christ was a man like us when he was on this earth. He wasn't a spirit. The disciples, sometimes when they saw him walking on the sea or on the river or on the lake, they said, oh gosh, that is a ghost, that is a spirit. He wasn't a spirit, he was a man like us. But he did certain things that man doesn't do or usually we don't do. Today we're going to explore some of these things. He was born of a woman, he was flesh and blood like us and grew up like all of us, but something stood him out. What was it? The Holy Spirit was the defining factor for Jesus Christ. Write it down. The Holy Spirit was a defining factor. He was born of the Holy Spirit and he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was a defining factor. So today, if you are watching me and listening to me, you need to be sure that you are born of the Holy Spirit, and you need to be sure or desire or want or be hungering and thirsting, that you be also baptized with the Holy Spirit. That is what stood him out. Now, his disciples and followers received the Holy Spirit. We know that. And we're also born by the Holy Spirit. We know that. We can have reference for it, but I don't want to bombard you with too many scriptures, because some of you only write Bible passages. Please write a story to it so that when I quote it to you, you can do that. Everything that I say, I can back it up with scripture. But believe what I'm saying. So the disciples likewise had to be baptized with the Holy Spirit after being born by the Holy Spirit, and so that they would operate in power, just like Jesus Christ did. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ today, you must have the insatiable desire. Write it down. The insatiable desire. Don't be satisfied. You should be hungry and thirsty. Don't be satisfied with one thing. You should have the insatiable desire. That means you always wanted to have the Holy Spirit fill you and baptize you so that you can do ministry just like Jesus Christ did. Have that insatiable desire to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit so that you will also do ministry like he did. Let's take a reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So today, if you are hungering, if you are thirsting to do what is right before God, I can assure you the Bible says that you shall be filled. You can tell yourself, "I will thirst and hunger for righteousness, and I will be filled. I will thirst and hunger for righteousness, and I will be filled." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that is your prayer, you will be filled. Amen. Amen. That's Matthew 5, 6. So you cannot be, in this sense, you cannot be a passive bystander and expect the Holy Spirit to baptize you. Some Christians just want to stand there and say, "Holy Spirit, baptize me." If you are baptizing people, I want to baptize. It doesn't work that way. My brother, you cannot stand and look at your shower running and say, "I want to have a shower. I want to have a shower." And the water is running and you are not going in. Nothing is going to happen. If you're tired and want to have a bubble bath or something, and you run your bath and you look at it and say, "I want to have a bubble bath," nothing is going to happen. You cannot be a passive bystander and expect the Holy Spirit to baptize you. You cannot sit and do nothing and expect the Holy Spirit to overshadow you and release you in power. You have to do something. Let me give you an example. You see, in Matthew 3, verse 13 and verse 15, Jesus himself walked to John the Baptist and asked to be baptized by him. Then the Holy Spirit came upon him. Jesus walked to John the Baptist and said, "Baptize me." Even when John was resisting him, he said, "Baptize me so that we can fulfill all scripture, so that all righteousness will be fulfilled. The thing that will put us in right standing before God will come true, will come to pass, will be fulfilled in my life." And as he was baptized, the Bible said, the Holy Spirit came upon him. So Jesus Christ, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, made that move to baptize and was filled by the Holy Spirit. So if you're here and you're a believer, you're a Christian, giving your life to Jesus Christ, you've got to make that step to be baptized in water, make that step to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And when you are being baptized, God affirm you as his beloved son or daughter. Now, when we look at Luke chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, Jesus was praying when he was being baptized. The account of Luke said that Jesus was praying. Look it up, Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Jesus was praying when he was being baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form. He was praying. He was making an effort. So if you want the Holy Spirit to fill you, baptize you, and move you in power, you cannot sit and do nothing. Jesus himself has taught us and shown us the example of how he did it. So why not you if you're a Christ follower? Why not you if you're a Christian? Why not you if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? He was praying for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit descended and baptized him. The disciples were assembled together in the upper room praying for the promise of the Father. That is in John chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 14 and Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. So Acts 1:14, Acts 2:1-4. What was happening is that when they were assembled together in the upper room, about 120 of them, followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, and they were praying for the promise of the Father to come. And when the Holy Spirit came and settled upon each one of them with evidence of speaking in tongues, they were praying, saying, God, let your Holy Spirit come. Let your Holy Spirit come, because you have said that we cannot do ministry in power to overcome the works of the enemy, to overcome adversity, to overcome the things that hold us back, the things that are stumbling block in before us. We cannot do ministry where we can be overcomers in our workplaces, where we can be overcomers in our homes, we can be overcomers in anywhere that we will be, that will be prosperous, will be successful in our business. If you're a Christ follower, then you need something more. Because in some places, people use some smart tricks, others to even use even voodoo to be successful. But we are not for that. We need the Holy Spirit. So let this man be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. So don't be a passive bystander, but do something. Now let's look at something that defines Jesus Christ as well. Here, we are saying, you must walk closer to God. Jesus walked closer to God. Anyone who has yielded and surrendered his or her life to Jesus Christ must from here on walk closer to God. You see, John the Baptist said, a man cannot receive anything unless it has been given to him from heaven. John the Baptist understood this. And since he understood this, he said, the only way that I can operate in the power of God is when I walk with you. He walked with God in fasting. He walked with God in isolating himself to find his dead place. He walked with God by looking up to God and fulfilling scripture. Whatever his purpose was, he was fulfilling it. So God must increase in your life if you want to walk with God. Now how, you may ask me. Let me take an example that I knew as a child. And also, I believe A.A. Allen, evangelist A.A. Allen, also used such example as well. He's an American, and I'm an African Caribbean, so I can use example from wherever I want in the world. And in A.A. Allen's example, he was saying that once he was driving in the prairies, right, prairies is the mountainous area in America, and when he was driving, he realized that the mountains were so far away and so small. And as he got a bit closer, it became evident that the mountains would become bigger and bigger and bigger. So by the time that he got closer to the foothill of it, he realized that it was such a huge mountain. And I'm saying that I've seen that in my own life, in places that I've traveled and places that I've lived, where driving and the mountains look so far away. And the moment I see the top of it, it's that small, I know that I'm getting to my destination. And by the time I get to my destination, the mountains is so huge in front of me. Why? Has the mountain got bigger? The answer is no. The same size, the same mountain. The difference is that I have gotten closer to the mountain, so I've driven closer to the mountain. The difference is that you have gotten closer to the mountain, so the mountain is the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But as you get closer to God, you see how enormous, how big, how mighty, how strong, and how powerful, and how immovable he is. Hallelujah. So draw closer to God. This is what takes place when God increases in your life. The Bible encourages us to draw near to God, cleanse our hands from sin, purify our hearts, and stop being double-minded. That's what James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us. This means get rid of those things that has come between you and your God. Don't let the cares of life come between you and your God. For those things will choke you and make you weak, unfruitful, and powerless. This morning, Pastor Aaron, when she started opening the service, said, look, in the heavens, before the angels are elders. Maybe all your life you've been thinking about, they are superhumans, elders, meaning human beings who have already taken the lead to be in front of our God. People who are approved of God. People whom God can do something with. And the Bible said they cast their crowns. So whatever their crown was, and as Pastor Ari said, whatever your crown is, it may be something that is bothering you. It may be some pain you're going through. It may be some obstacle. It may be something that you are not being able to shift. You've worn it on your mind. You've worn it on your head as a crown, and that is preventing you from worshiping God, preventing you from drawing closer to God. And you know what they did? They cast their crowns. They said, look, whatever is useful to me, whether it is my wonderful business, whether it's my wonderful job, I cast it out and put it before you. I cast my crowns before you. Whatever makes me who I am, whatever gives me dignity, whatever gives me value, whatever gives me, as it were, acceptance in society, I'm going to cast it in front of you. Be it my house, my building, my money, my whatever it is, I'm going to cast it before you. And when you do that, you get closer to God. Don't let the cares of this world choke you. Once it chokes you, you cannot be powerful. And Jesus Christ, when he came, was single-minded. He never allowed anything to choke him. To that extent, he was able to minister in power. Don't give all your thoughts to the things of this world as though you will live forever. Right? Never allow friends and loved ones come between you and God, as that will keep you away from him. You see, if you let your child come before God, it will keep you away from, because the child is all that is on your mind. You've forgotten. Yesterday we were learning at family school that children come into our life as visitors. You get married, they are not in there, or as you are growing up, you don't have a child, then they come into your life. They grow up and they live your life. So if all your focus is on your child and your child is the king or the queen in the house, one day they will move on and you'll be alone. And that will damage you. Don't let that keep you away from God. Don't let your job keep you away from God. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 37 says that anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So you see, I'm not making up stories, right? The Bible says so. And some people find it so hard because they've turned the scripture the other way around. And therefore, if it's got to do with X, Y, Z, they'd rather do X, Y, Z and leave God. God is an afterthought. You see, God cannot work with such people who are far from him. If some things like this, your family, your friends, your children, your mother, your father, is more important than God, you know something? Remember, these people come and go. They're not going to live forever. And somehow, it keeps you far from God. And if you are far from God, you cannot. God cannot work with you. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let this man be in you, because he walked closer to God. You are too far from God when you cannot sense him or feel anything when you worship, pray, or hear the word of God. You see, as I'm preaching, you hear it, it does nothing to you. You are far from God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. As we are worshiping, it didn't move you. You are far from God. When we were worshiping, something was just descending on me. I was just feeling as if some goose pimples coming over me. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Mm. If nothing is happening to you, you are far from God. Mm. Right? That's very, very important that we know that. And when you pray, your mind is always like a clock going round and round and round. You never finish saying the statement that you actually set off to say. You are far from God. Don't blame the devil. It's just because you are far from God. At this point, check yourself in the mirror, for you are either too independent, that depend upon yourself most of the time or alone, or you are rebellious to God's word, or your iniquities, sins have separated you from God. Right? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 tells us. Right? So don't blame God for your lack of power. the blame squarely where it belongs. And where it belongs is you. If you cannot sense God when you are worshiping, if you cannot feel God when you are praying, if you cannot feel God when you are hearing. I hear people tell, oh, I can't feel God, nothing seems to happen. Because you are far from God. It could be sin, it could be rebellion, it could be iniquity. You are too independent. Your life is more important to you. Other things are more important to you. You don't care less about God. God is always an afterthought. You won't sense God, you won't move in power. Hallelujah. You can't blame God. There's an African proverb which says that gods cannot be blamed. I believe it's a Nigerian writer, right? The gods cannot be blamed. Chinua Achebe. The gods cannot be blamed. You can't blame the gods. Africans, I mean, their traditional worship is worshiping idols, and they believe in their gods. You mess about with them, they will kill you easily. But that doesn't help anybody. So the gods cannot be blamed. When you have opened your heart and allowed the Spirit of God to fill you, taking possession of every part of your body, you will find Him much nearer to you than before. He will be much greater God to you than before. Then you know that God is with you. You are walking closer to God. Jesus was very close to His God. That is why He could do what He did in ministry while He was here on this earth. Shall we read something from John chapter 11, verse 41 to 42? Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. That was the death of Lazarus, right? And his resurrection. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. This is incredible. This is supernatural. And I'm sitting here, and in the last couple of years, God has been gracious to us as a church, South Street Baptist Church. We have seen so many miracles. We have seen so many things happen. But I am not satisfied. I am not satisfied. I'm extremely grateful that some of you can lay your hands on the sick. They can recover. You can pray and there's miracles being happening in hope and in your homes. You can say things and happen. Some of you are teaching and doing all sorts of things. I'm incredibly grateful to God. We never used to do it before until the last 2-3 years. But I am not satisfied until I get closer to God that I can do the things that Jesus Christ is doing. Because it's as the Father has sent me, so send I you. For that reason, let this man be in you as it was also in Jesus Christ. Now the next thing that we've talked about, I mean, the defining thing that the Holy Spirit, you've got to constantly seek to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You've got to make the effort. You've got to be closer to God. The next thing you have to think about that Jesus did, that stood him out, that made him do the thing that he did was feed upon the Word of God. Feed upon the Word of God. Eat it, just like you eat your food. Feed upon the Word of God. And as you feed upon the Word of God, something good will happen to you. When you don't believe in the supernatural power of God, you won't see miracles in your life. When you read the Word of God, you feed it, you know that God is supernatural, and therefore in His name, miracles like raising Lazarus, who was dead for days, and possibly smelling. If you read the account in John chapter 11, it says that by this time he'll be smelling, the people were saying. But Jesus said, you take the gravestone off. And he shouted and said, Father, I know you hear me because you've always heard me. So if God has always heard you, then the things that you do is for the sake of the people around, not for the sake of you, but for the people around. And that is what God will do, feed upon his word. If you feed upon his word, you know what you have to do. The more you come to know God by feeding upon his word and walking by his side day by day, the more he will increase in your sight. The more you know that God is limitless, like we sang. The more you know that God does the impossible, like we've sung. The more you know that our God is powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The more you come to know God by feeding upon His Word and walking by His side, day by day, the more He will increase in your sight. Feed upon the Word of God, for it is written. When you look at Matthew 4:4, that's what Jesus Christ said to Satan. He says, it is written. You see, when you look at the account of the time, Jesus Christ had a tussle with the enemy when he was being tempted. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and the enemy chose the wrong time. He chose the wrong time to attack Jesus when he was full of the Holy Spirit. Because there will be only one winner, and that winner will be Jesus Christ. No challenge. No doubt. He chose the wrong time. And you have to get to the point that the enemy, he will choose the wrong time to confront you. And when he chooses the wrong time to confront you, his defeat will be imminent. Hallelujah. See, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, and when the Word of God is in you and you know it, whenever the enemy comes to attack you, there will be only one winner, and that will be you. Hallelujah. It is written. Matthew 4:4. If you pay very little attention to the Word of God, you can't then hope to have power. Did you hear that? If you pay very little attention to the Word of God, you can't hope to have power. We as Southern Baptist Church, we are helping you to engage with the Word of God. We even send daily devotions to you by your emails. We know when people open it or when people don't even open it. We know when people read it and when people don't read it. This is not to catch you up, but to challenge you that you cannot fool God. Right? So, this is to help you to engage with God even in small ways. And those of you who are hungry, always go and then do a little bit more research on the things that you've read. You do references, you check references to help you grow more. Do that and read more. If you pay little attention, you can have power. God will not honor you with His presence if you dishonor Him by not reading His Word. Remember what Jesus Christ told Satan? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So feed upon the Word of God, for it is written. The Bible tells us that we can only make our way pure if we take heed or if we pay attention to the Word of God. I love Psalm 119, verse 9. You can read from the Amplified Version. That if we pay heed to the Word of God. He said, how can a young man make his way pure? Use it generic. How can a young woman, or how can an old woman, how can a follower of Christ make his or her way pure? It's by paying attention to His Word. Hallelujah. And making your way pure in the name of Jesus Christ. Now the last point that I would like to talk about, what made Jesus Christ so powerful? What made Him move on? What made Him do these miracles? I want to see more. I want to see some of you. You've been praying and you haven't had breakthrough. I want every prayer that you pray and I pray, I want us to have results. We don't want to sit down and always coming back with the same problem. We don't want to be sit down to see people being oppressed and depressed and people being held back by the enemy. We don't want to see people go through the bloodlines of the enemy that the enemy will bring in generational curse to them. We don't want to see people sick all the time. We don't want to even pray for people and eventually they die. We want to pray for people like this man who died, Lazarus, and he come back. So there's a long way for us to go. But Jesus said, the things that I have done, you will do. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. But more so, let this man be in you as it was in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So have this same mind to be with you. And the mind that he had with him was that, I would say that, humble yourself. Be humble. Humble yourself. Gideon Nash, humble yourself. Say that to yourself. Call your name. Humble yourself. God is not going to humble you, because when God humbles you, you'll be in trouble. When God humbled Nebuchadnezzar, you know what he did? He turned into an animal. He ate grass for several years. And when God humbled people, the result was always bad. So don't say, God, humble me. You are praying dangerous prayers. But the days of ignorance, God will forget. But now that you know, say, humble yourself. You have to do that. That's what the Bible says. Humble yourself and deal with pride. If you want to walk in power here on this earth, Jesus did exactly what the Father told him to do. He even died the way it was written of him in the Bible. Right? In the Bible, it was said precisely that Jesus Christ would die on a tree or on the cross. Right? And the writings of prophet Isaiah allude to everything that Jesus Christ came to do. And specifically Galatians 3:13 and specifically Acts 5:30. Galatians 3:13, Acts 5:30. You will see that it said Jesus Christ humbled himself and died on the cross for you and me. He fulfilled scripture. So humble yourself if you want to do what Jesus Christ did. The moment you choose to do things your way or begin to argue things out with the authority that has commissioned you, or you begin to lose power. You see, when God has commissioned you to do something and you take credit or you don't humble yourself and you are proud, you lose your power. When your leaders have laid hands upon you and commissioned you to do something and you say, I want to do it something another way, you lose power because you are not coming under authority. Remember in Mark 7, Jesus Christ said, Jairus said, look, I am a man under authority. I tell people to go and they go. He understood that. And he knew Jesus was under authority. So until you come under authority, whatever has been assigned to you, you lose it. You lose power because you cannot do it on your own. Therefore, stop doubting God and his anointed servants. Let's go back to read Philippians 2 verse 8 and 9. Philippians 2 verse 8 and 9. He said, and being found in appearance as a man, that's Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, giving him the name which is above every name. That means giving him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. So because he humbled himself, because he did not struggle with God to take his power, because he did not say, I am God here on this earth, and therefore I'm going to blow up the heavens, I'm going to blow up Satan, I'm going to do this, he fulfilled scripture. He did what his father sent him to do. And when he did that, God highly exalted him. And God gave him a name. That is why we pray, we say, in the name of Jesus. Someone who has humbled himself, God has highly exalted him, and the name that is given him transcends every issue that you come across. That is why we pray in the name of Jesus. This challenges us to deal with pride, for God is not interested in anyone who is haughty, who is arrogant, and who is with pride of heart. Remember that the power and the success of any man's ministry depends upon the amount or greatness of God in his life. God must increase in you as you decrease. When you submit yourself and minister to God in obedience, the Lord will work with you and confirm the word with signs and wonders and miracles following. The Holy Spirit will back you up like he did with the disciples all the time. The Apostle Peter understood this story about humility, or this exhortation about humility, that of himself, Peter, he could not do anything. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was able to get a man who was born lame to walk. And most of you know this story in Acts chapter 3, right? So you can, verse 12 and verse 16, that happened. So it is only as you allow God to increase you and increase in your life that the power can increase in you. And this can never happen until yourself or the self nature is made of low reputation. If you read in some translation about Ephesians chapter 2, it said Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. You see, you're not preaching for reputation. You're not doing miracles for reputation. You're not trying to heal people because you want your name to go far. It is God who will exalt, my brother, my sister. So let your heart be to love people. Let your heart be to have compassion and sorrow for people when they need your help, and be there Be there to show love and compassion and do the work of God. Do the work of God. Serve God and serve His people. Help people to be free. Anytime I hear somebody is ill, I just feel so compassionate that God, I want that person to be healed. When I hear that somebody is depressed, somebody's going through hard times, I want that person to get out of it. When I see that somebody is doing well, I mean, be it in business, they even bought a new car, they even bought a new house, I am so happy, it's as if it's mine. That is exactly what this, and that is my nature. I am happy for people when they are winning, and I'm sad for people when they are losing. And that's the nature of Jesus Christ. He wanted to be win-win situation in every situation. And sure, let me quote one verse to in this area just to help us, because we'll soon be, ending. He said, when Zerubbabel, right? Zerubbabel is a big name, right? Long name. Zerubbabel, when the people of Israel returned from exile, remember they were there for 70 years, and when they returned, only a few tens of thousands came in the first return. Then the second return with Ezra, and then with, Nehemiah. Together, we didn't even have 500,000 of them returning. Most of them got lost because of disobedience. But when they came back, they decided they want to build the temple of God, the church of God. And Zerubbabel was literally, he was an administrator, so he was putting all his strategies to place and say, hey, you do this, using every strategy. But as much as he used his strategy, he was struggling, it didn't work. Then the angel of the Lord told him to realize this, that it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, say the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah is one of the last prophets in the Old Testament that will end us in the Old Testament, like Malachi, Zechariah, and Haggai. Right? These are the three prophets who were there when the people of Israel returned to the promised land from exile. And that ends the story of the Old Testament. So here, God is saying to Zerubbabel, say, look, your strategies are great. Your might is great. Your power is great, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So the might and the power spoken of here refers to man's might and man's power, not God's. For a church to walk in the supernatural power of God does not depend upon our boast in natural power, our influence or popularity. One cannot depend upon your magnificence and a great church plan, the efficiency of God, of church organization, or our numerical strength. Neither will it depend upon our connection with people or wealth that we may have. Once your mind is only focused on things like that, which is your might and your power, you end up having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In essence, the church becomes a social club that makes no room for the Holy Spirit, nor for the supernatural manifestation of the power of God to happen. And how many churches and how many times have you even seen us in the past that we went to church? Those of you who've been in the church for 30 years or more, or 20 years or more, people want to come to church on a Sunday, but it was a powerless church. It was nothing is happening in church. We sang beautiful hymns. We preached lovely sermons. We had teas and coffees. These are not bad things, you know. We had fellowship. They were not bad things. But we were powerless. And we did not manifest the power of God. We did not save nobody. We never cast out a demon. We are now casting out demons. We never even made an appeal for salvation for people to come from the kingdom of hell to the kingdom of God. We never did that. It wasn't a priority for us. We were looking for some evangelists to come from the sky to do it for us. And many churches are like that. God is not interested. People need to hear more than a sermon. They need to feel something while the sermon is being preached. It is the Spirit that causes people to feel the preaching and open their hearts to God. And not your own cleverness, not the jokes that sometimes we share, or as speeches of motivation, or sometimes people become con artists in the church, or the wisdom of man, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And the Apostle Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, I believe he did. Remember, the Bible says that whoever exalts himself shall be abased. But whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. You can find this in Luke chapter 14, verse 11. See, all the Bible verses are coming in the chat box, so you can refer to your chat box. You just click it up. It's like a Twitter sign. Click it, and the Bible verses will come up. Now, the Bible also says that it is written that God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, how then can you hope to walk in power when God is resisting you? Yeah, James 4, verse 6. God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. So the question is, how then can you hope to walk in power when God is resisting you? God is bigger than you. And if you are proud, God will resist you. You cannot expect to have anything happen to you. People who are proud don't give a toss about God. People who are proud just go to church as normal. Those who are proud, they don't even spend time with God. Those who are proud, everything else is priority for them. And when they have a little success, they look down on other people. Hey, shall we bring our message to a conclusion? And say that, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Therefore, before we go home, remember that we have to have a renewal of our mind. If you say, let this mind be in you, then we have to have our minds renewed and transformed so that we will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Shall we say amen and amen to that? We set out to find out what and what made Jesus Christ tick in his ministry and what we need to do to have that kind of mind. So today we are going to pray. We're going to pray for ourselves right now. And what are we going to pray about? We're going to pray for renewed mind to walk in power. Let this mind be in you as it was in Jesus Christ. You want to walk in power. Yesterday at the family school, I'm saying that we're sharing that, I mean, people believe that they had to live in poverty and they become better Christians. No, no, no. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible wants us to have enough, wants us to have abundance and have it extravagantly. That's what Scripture teaches. So that means our minds were being renewed then, so we have to renew our minds right now. Renew your mind to walk in power. So tell God, pray for yourself. Nobody's hearing you. We've literally muted everyone, so you can only hear yourself or someone sitting by you. Pray to God and say, God, give me this renewed mind. I want my mind to be renewed. I want my mind to be renewed. I want my mind to be renewed. I want to have a different attitude so that I will pray for the Holy Spirit to baptize me, not once, to be filled and to be filled and to be filled to walk in power. Because we leak after you've prayed and exerted power. You leak, so you have to fill yourself like putting petrol in your car. As you use your car, the petrol goes down. So pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you again. And pray that it will be evidence in speaking in tongues, because speaking in tongues releases more power for you. Just like now, this time driving a turbocharger, V6, V8 engine, instead of your 1.2 liter car. You want the turbo power prayers. So consciously, actively desire the Holy Spirit to come upon you and tell God, baptize me by speaking in tongues. Don't sit there and say, God, if you want to baptize me. God ain't going to do nothing because your prayer is negative. What is possible? God, baptize me with your Holy Spirit, with evidence in speaking in tongues. so that I can get into the supernatural to unlock the keys to destroy the works of the evil one. This morning I was praying and I shared something with my wife and we said, look, you know what? We need to pray for God to open our eyes to tell us how to deal with certain things. What you've had is not enough. Your petrol is running out as you drive around. If you don't recharge, one day your car will stop. Ask God to fill you. Renew your mind so that you can walk in power. If you are praying, continue to pray. And I want you to pray and ask God to renew your mind so that you can walk in miracle. Or you can receive a miracle. Some of you need to receive a miracle. Some of you need to receive something supernatural, something unusual. You need to receive a miracle. Ask God, God, receive my mind, renew my mind so I'll be in a position to receive a miracle in my life. Please ask God for that. You need a miracle. Tell God, I want a miracle in my life. Tell Jesus, I want a miracle in my life. You need a miracle in your life. Don't settle for less. God does that. Don't let doctrine hold you back. Don't let your denomination hold you back. You need a miracle. See, denomination came as a result of people understanding a bit of scripture, and they made it denomination. God does not reject that. God does not poo-poo that. No. But we have to teach you the whole counsel of God. And God wants you to receive a miracle. Are you ready to receive a miracle? Ask God for that. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm going to pray for you right now. I want to pray for renewal of mind and receive a miracle. Father, in the name of Jesus. You can have your head bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm praying for your sons and daughters on this platform right now. Father, I'm praying for a supernatural miracle, supernatural manifestation. Father God, your sons and daughters, Father God, have their hands up saying, God, we need a miracle. Father, we need a divine intervention. We need a supernatural intervention, Father God, by the resurrected Jesus, by the exalted Jesus in our situation. Father God, miracle of a new job. I sense this right now. Miracle of a new job. If that is you, just wave at me and I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we need a miracle. Father God, of a breakthrough in our lives in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for a breakthrough. I pray for a breakthrough. Father God, a miracle. Father God, of rebuilding hopes. Rebuilding hopes. Father, rebuild hopes right now. I sense that. I hear that in my ears. He said, rebuild hopes. Today, receive it. If it is you, receive it. God is rebuilding your home. God is rebuilding your home. In the name of Jesus, receive that miracle. Receive that miracle. Receive that miracle. That means God is going to bring peace. He's going to bring a resolution for you. That is amicable for you, that is acceptable for you, that will give you peace. God is going to give you that resolution, that will give you a peace. Accept God's provision. Receive that miracle. Receive that miracle right now, right now. In Jesus' name, receive that miracle. God wants to bring a resolution to that situation. God wants to bring an acceptable situation so that you will say, God, I'm so thankful. God, receive this miracle in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray that our minds will be renewed to the extent that we say, God, we believe you. God, we believe your miracles. Father God, do some miraculous things. Some need a breakthrough financially. Father God, give a breakthrough financially. Financially, give a breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, God is going to send some of you a gift that you are not even prepared for. You are not a gift that you have not prepared for. God is going to send it to you. I hear it. I sense it. I feel it right now. If this is you, claim it for yourself. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you are a wonderful God. You are a mighty God. Father God, I am not satisfied until I see, Father God, breakthrough in people's life. I'm not satisfied until I see breakthrough in people's home. I'm not satisfied until I see miracles and signs and wonders happening in people's lives. Father, I'm not satisfied until I see your church operating fully in miracles and signs and wonders. Father, God, I'm not satisfied until I see demons cast out and, Father God, curse is broken in people's life. Curses of poverty broken in people's life. Father God, recurring event that is to our disadvantage will become advantage, will be turned into things that are advantage for us, because you are going to break that generational curse. That bloodline issues, you're going to break it. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm sure while we worship him, and then Alex will come after that. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never given Jesus Christ a chance in your life, you don't know him, that today if his dead were to come to you, you don't know where you're going. Yeah, this morning we had a message, a man that I know very well. I mean, his daughter was in our church, amazing person who had an amazing angelic voice, was in our choir, in our church ministry. The father went to have an operation and he didn't come back. That is painful. You don't know when that will happen to him. This man who died is someone who knew God, so he knew where he was going. And those few hours that he was dying, he would have known and he would have seen the face of God. If you are dying, will you know? Will you see the face of God? If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to invite you. Just wave at me, and I'll pray for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know him, just wave at me. If you've never given him a chance in your life, if you've never asked him to become your Lord and Savior, I want you to wave at me right now in the name of Jesus Christ. People have died in our country. People have died elsewhere. And where will you be when death comes to you? Anyone who wants to know that? Want to give his life to Jesus Christ? Father God, I thank you for your church. I thank you that we have that living hope. That Father God, there are about 50 plus people on this platform, maybe more. Father God, who knows you as their Lord and Savior? I pray that, Father God, people will intentionally rededicate their life to you so that they will walk close to you. So that when the time comes, that the angels blow the trumpets, they will rise up, whether they live, they will rise up to you, whether they die, they will rise up to you, so they will be with you forevermore. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.